There was nothing Rubra could do. His most promising protégé for decades was lost to him. The affinity window into Darriet's mind remained closed. It was the most secure block the habitat personality pattern had ever known, remaining in place even while the boy slept. After a month of steady pressure, Rubra gave up. Even Darriet's subconscious was sealed against subliminal suggestions. The block was more than conscious determination, it was a profound psychological inhibition, probably trauma-based. Rubra cursed yet another failure descendant and switched his priority to a new fledgling. Monitoring of Darriet was assigned to an autonomic subroutine. Occasional checks by the personality's principal consciousness revealed a total dropout, a part-time drunk, part-time hustler picking up beer money by knowing people and where to find them, getting involved with deals which were dubious even for Valisk. Darriet never got a regular job living off the starscraper Food Pap, accessing MF albums sometimes for days on end. He never approached a girl again. It was a standoff which lasted 30 years. Rubra had even stopped his intermittent checks on the wrecked man. Then the Yaku arrived at Valisk. The Yaku's emergence above Opuntia, 6 days after it left Lalonde, never raised a query. None of Graham Nicholson's flex had yet reached their destination when the cargo starship asked for and was granted docking permission. As far as both the Habitat personality and the Avon Embassy's small intelligence team, the only Confederation observers Rubra would allow inside, were concerned, it was just another cargo starship visiting a spaceport which handled nearly 30,000 similar visits a year. Yaku had emerged a little further away from Valisk than was normal, and its flight vector required a more than average number of corrections. The fusion drive was fluctuating in an erratic fashion. But then a lot of the Atomist starships using Valisk operated on the borderline of CAB space wilderness requirements. It docked at a resupply bay on the edge of the 3-kilometer-wide disk, which was the habitat's non-rotational spaceport. The captain requested a quantity of helium-3 and deuterium, as well as oxygen, water, and some food. Spaceport service companies were contracted within 10 minutes of its arrival. 3 people disembarked. Their passport flex named them as Marie Skibbeau, Alicia Cochran, and Manza Baluzzi. The last 2 were members of Yaku's crew. All 3 cleared Valisk's token immigration and customs, carrying small bags with a single change of clothing. The Yaku undocked 4 hours later, its cryogenic tanks full, and flew down towards Opuntia. Whatever its jump coordinate was, the gas giant was between it and Valisk when it activated its energy-patterning nodes. No record of its intended destination existed. Darriet was sitting up at the bar in the Tabitha Oasis when the girl caught his eye. 30 years of little exercise, too much cheap beer, and a diet of starscraper gland-synthesized pastes had brought about a detrimental effect on his once slim physique. He was fat, verging on obese, his skin was flaky, his hair was dull by a week's accumulation of oil. Appearance wasn't something he paid a lot of attention to. A toga-like robe covered a multitude of laxities. That girl, though, teenaged, long-limbed, large-breasted, exquisite face, bronzed, strong, wearing a tight white T-shirt and short black skirt, he wasn't alone in watching her. The Tabitha Oasis attracted a tough crew. A girl like that was a walking gangbang invitation. It had happened before, but she hadn't got a care in the world. There was an elan to her which was mesmerizing. All the more surprising, then, was her table companion. Anders Bosport, physically her counterpart, late 20s, slab muscles, the best swarthy face money could buy, but he didn't have her youthful exuberance. His mouth and eyes smiled, for that money they ought to, but there was no emotion powering the expression. Anders Bosport was, in almost equal proportions, gigolo, pimp, pusher, and blue-sense star. Strange he couldn't see that. But he could pile on the charm when necessary, and the expensive wine bottle sitting on the table between them was nearly empty. Darriet beckoned the barkeeper over. "What's her name?"
"Marie. Arrived on a ship this afternoon."
That explained a lot. Nobody had warned her. Now the wolves at the Tabitha Oasis were circling the campfire, enjoying her elaborate seduction.